Well, good morning, everybody. When I was a kid growing up, I remember that at large holiday meals, we would go to the homes of various relatives. We'd either go to some of Mom's relatives in the suburbs of Chicago, or we might go to some of my father's relatives in New York or South Bend. Those were our normal spots, but kind of regardless of where we went, I remember there was usually, at these dinners, there were a lot of people, and there was a children's table. And when I was a small kid, of course, I didn't even notice. But each year, as I got a little older, I would look over at the grown-up's table, and I'd think to myself, when will I get to sit there? I do remember a time or two when I would think I was a little too sophisticated for the children's table, and I'd head right on over to the adult's table, only to be told lovingly by my mother that I should return to the children's table. I wasn't ready for that yet. And I would go with my head down, kind of wondering why no one else could see how mature I was. But then of course, one day my brother, who's 2 years older than I am, he was invited to the big table. And he left me in the dust. I remember that. But I remember when I was finally old enough for the big people table, I quickly realized that the children's table was a lot more fun. There was more supervision at the grown-up table. You couldn't throw peas and corn at each other at the big people's table. You had to behave. You had to sit still. You had to listen to who was suffering from what medical condition. You had to listen to stories about traffic and taxes. I remember one day looking over to the kids' table and seeing all of them laughing, thinking, boy, I kind of wish I was sitting there. You know? If I could draw one little lesson out of that, it's that it's what Jesus is saying in our gospel. We ought to find joy in being who we are and where we are in life. Not always clawing or wishing or praying for something more or something better, a higher position, a better place at the table. Often enough, I think, people climb the ladder to more and more, higher and higher. We want more degrees. We want more FaceTime. We want more likes. We want more attention. We want bigger offices and fancier titles, bigger muscles and houses and bank accounts. And all of that, we're a little earthly minded. We're worldly minded. And Jesus reminds us today that there is no room for such an attitude in the heart of a true disciple. We climb and climb in our sinfulness like the guy in the gospel, only to find out that it was actually a lot better where we were when we were lower on the proverbial totem pole. There's a lot more paradise at the kids' table. Maybe that's one reason Jesus says that if you want heaven, you got to be like a child. My confirmation saint, as you may know, is St. Philip Neri. He lived in Rome in the 1500s, and there were a lot of problems in Rome in the 1500s, and one of them was poverty. St. Philip Neri and some of the others that were friends of his ended up founding what were called oratories. And in their early days, they functioned a lot like orphanages. St. Philip Neri raised up kids who had no one to believe in them, and whose parents had walked out on them. He started his first oratory, this sort of orphanage, in the attic of a hospital. St. Philip Neri, there's a great movie, by the way, about him called I Prefer Heaven, and that is based on his favorite saying in life on earth. He always said, I prefer heaven, and to the point that one day, famously, the Pope wanted to elevate him to a cardinal, so that it's, you know, Pope Francis just made a whole bunch of them yesterday, but at the time there was corruption, you know. And so Philip Neri turned down the hat. He took the hat that the Pope gave him, threw it in the air, and he said, I prefer heaven. But there's this one scene in this movie, it's based on a true story, where one of the boys that grew up in Philip Neri's orphanage, in this oratory. He'd always been drawn to power and prestige. Even as a little kid, you could see this, despite Philip Neri's efforts to kind of correct his heart. He, at various times as he gets older, Philip Neri gives him jobs to do. They took care of the poor, they fed the hungry, and they even took care of the lepers. And when this guy got to be in his early 20s, one day Philip Neri told him, "I want you to go bathe that leper." And this guy resented it every time. Well, he decided that he was going to become a bishop because he wanted the position. He wanted the power. And sure enough, he became one somehow, only to realize that there were a million problems in the diocese that he had been appointed to. And he found there also in himself a very lonely heart. And at the end of the movie, he writes this letter to Philip Neri, and he says, "I've come to learn that I was never so happy in my life as when I was taking care of that leper." You know, maybe that's the case, that the lowest place turns out to be the most like paradise, the most heaven-like, kind of like my experience with the table. Let's find joy in being where we are in life, in being who we are. It's not worth it to chase after the things of this world. You can't take them with you anyway. But I got to thinking, maybe this here, this altar, is the true children's table. We are, after all, the sons and daughters of God. We're his kids. And he invites us to this table. The world has fancier ones that they've tried to lure us to. But this is the true table of God. We find and embrace here all that is really worth chasing, and that is Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.